We're on.
Good morning, Muskie County Board of Supervisors. We'll convene. Garrett, can you do the flag salute?
What do we just?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, Chuck. Bradley.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're grateful today for the blessings of life, the provisions you make for us every day. We come before you today. I'm thinking about those who are serving in the military all over the world. We pray for their safety. We're grateful for their service. Give them blessings in their families as they are separated during many times. But God, thank you for what they do for our nation. We pray for those in the Midwest and the East who are suffering from this severe storm right now. And we just pray for their safety. We know there's a lot of issues with snow and ice. But God, for those who reach out, who are service-oriented, who reach the people who have need, we pray for their safety. We pray for their encouragement during difficult times. And as we approach this meeting today, I pray for Supervisor Haupt as he leads the meeting. I pray for every supervisor as they make the decisions. Give them understanding, wisdom. Help them provide for this county. We thank you for their service. Thank you for every worker in this county. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Alrighty. The board will be convening today as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District and receives no additional compensation. Roll call, Supervisor Valenzuela.
I'm here.
Supervisor Ogren.
Present.
Supervisor Kopsa.
Here.
Supervisor Harris.
Present.
And Supervisor Howell.
Present.
Thank you.
I move to item four, presentations from the public. Time slots for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. Written comments may be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. I don't have any blue cards. Are there any public comments?
Showing them online.
I see one hand up back there. Come on up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have some copies here.
They come here and I can hand them to the board. And we also need your name for the record.
Yes, all of them.
Thank you. At least 5 there.
Hi, I'm Bob Johnson. My wife, Wendy, and I are the owners of Bob Johnson Construction. Established in 1996. On February 24th, I was contacted by a COR from the Redding Forest Service Office informing me they had posted a solicitation for the delivery of 3,710 cubic yards of base rock, or 5,500 tons. The stickler was that the aggregate needed to come from a source that is weed-free from the skunkwort weed. He stated that he has been able to find a pit closer to the delivery location that is certified. He was inquiring to see if the heart pit, which we used on a project last year for them, was weed free of this. I immediately contacted Tom Louie, who operates the heart pit in Little Shasta, to see if it was certified free of this, or if we could get it certified. I told Tom that the bid was due on Tuesday, March 3rd at 3 p.m. Please see the attached time frame in that packet. It was provided by Tom Bowie. On Tuesday, March 3rd, the day the bid was due, Jody, a senior deputy ag commissioner, visited the pit that morning. In conversations with Tom Louie, Jody was aware of what we needed in terms of the certification letter and the timeline we needed it by. She assured Tom that she would give him the certification letter before the bid. Again, the bid was due that day at 3 p.m. By 2:30, Wendy had not received anything from the county or Tom. She called Tom, and he said, Jody said she will have it to us. By 3 o'clock, nothing. Wendy contacted the Ag Commissioner, Jim Smith. Jim told Wendy he was aware of the situation. Wendy told Jim the bid was due at 3. His reply was that Tom did not tell them that we needed the certification to turn in with the bid. At that time, Wendy merged Tom Louie into a three-way phone conversation. Wendy repeated to Tom, Jim said, you didn't tell them that we needed the certification to turn in the bid. Tom stated that was not true. Jim started backpedaling. Jim was caught in a lie. At 5:41 that evening, Jody, after the bids closed, Jody sent Tom a text message that said she had sent him an email. This is 2 hours and 40 minutes after the bid closed. Our bid was around $250,000. It would have employed 6 full-time employees, 2 business owners, the landowners, and 4 to 6 owner-operator trucks. Everyone was from this area. Your ag commissioner and his deputy will still receive their compensation from our tax money, but the remainder of us will receive nothing. We are disappointed, and we believe that Siskiyou County employees should be held accountable for their actions or lack of. I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Is there any other comment? Come forward, sir.
My name is Tom Louie with Louie's Gravel, and I would just like to second everything that Bob said. There's also a timeline in there. And I think that some of the confusion is that if Jim Smith did not know the importance of it, it's because I had phone calls into Jim and left him a voicemail saying that this is urgent, please give me a call back, and still have not received any phone calls back. There was actually one of the supervisors involved trying to help us. There wouldn't have been a supervisor involved if communication was going well. And there's lots of times that I've tried to communicate with no return phone calls. I think it's another one of those situations where I feel like Bob, me, the Hart family, we are all at a loss. And, you know, we take the hit. My wife and kids, we take the hit. We don't get very many opportunities to sell 5,500 tons of base out of the Hart's pit. So it was a big deal to us. And I feel like the loss is all to us. And I just, our taxpayer-funded employees get to go to work tomorrow and there will suffer no loss, no consequence. And so I wanted to be here today, take a day off work. Please read the handout and please understand that it does have an impact on us. I know that we just want 6 months to go by. Bob and I will forget about it. And we all move on, but this does hurt real people. And I don't expect phone calls back in 5 seconds, but please return our phone calls eventually. Like 24, 48 hours, is that reasonable? Anyhow, thank you for your time. Please read the handout. It's all, I even sent text messages so that we'd have verified timestamps because I thought this could happen. Thank you for your time.
Sir, if you would fill out a blue card with your name for us, that'd be great.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment? Seeing none.
Through the chair, I think I've received emails on this subject and another subject. They should be part of the record.
Is that they're in the clerk's circulation or the correspondence file for the board, which is out here,
okay.
Although it's not for this present meeting because they just came in yesterday and today, uh-huh. But we do have them on hand if anybody would like to see them.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
And then through the chair, I know we can't have dialogue with public comment, but I guess my question is, have we followed up in any form of, I guess, assisting in reopening that bid, or is it closed permanently, or is there something because of what transpired here that doesn't open the door for us to reach out to the Forest Service to at least propose a different opportunity?
Angela Davis, County Administrator. This discussion, I believe, we will also have in closed session as
okay.
an item to discuss freely.
Okay.
Unfortunately, because it's not agendized for public. However, I will say that research and inquiries have been made, and we'll be able
okay.
to discuss that.
Okay. Thank you.
Seeing no further, moving on to consent agenda, item 5. Wishes of the board. I'm going to pull item C. I'm looking for a
C. Okay.
Motion on the remainder.
Move to approve the balance of the consent agenda minus C.
Second.
All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Thank you.
I guess I'll start with C, right? I've read the proposal by the commission. I find myself in a strange place on this particular request because it's one of the rare opportunities where I don't find what the commission does as kind of lacking addressing the issues in my district. What I'm about to articulate are two things that are in the request going to the state. One, there's a request that range permittees on federal lands, private lands, be exempted from the camera disclosure or camera prohibition of use of cellular cameras on public land. I know, because of my past and having managed this program for over a decade, I know no mechanism for the agency to grant that special permission. So it's kind of I don't think it needs to be in there, for one thing. If you're not pursuing game, you can use a camera anywhere you want. The other piece that I found lacking is I don't agree that we should separate private land from this. It says public land that's not defined in the proclamation. I find the issues in my district are also on private land from two perspectives. I have a great deal of checkerboard ownership with the federal lands, and I don't know how anybody's going to enforce without survey equipment how you're going to exclude the use of a camera here and 10 feet over this direction. You can use a camera. That's a real issue in my district. And the other issue that I'm most concerned about is that the deer population in Scott Valley is being decimated largely by the hunting activity that takes care of. Supervisor Kopseff and I have been working on trying to reduce the number of tags in the B zone for years and can't get the agency to move on that. But the deer population is pretty much collapsed in the B zones over there. And in particular, the east side of Scott Valley is home to Winter Range. It's also home to a lot of private hunt clubs on private land that do use cameras and guides that trophy hunt using cameras. And it's depleting, in my opinion, is depleting the genetic stock of what was once a champion hunting experience throughout the B zone. With that said, I think it falls a little short of the inclusion of addressing issues on private land. I understand why the commission wanted to do that. They thought it would be easier to get through the state. The state regulates game on all lands, not just on public lands. So that's my two cents.
Yeah, I share concerns. I think it's extremely vague. I think that with the way it's written, it would have an effect on bear management. Because when you start talking just hunting seasons or 30 days after deer season, you start kind of getting into that aspect. And I'm not in support of removing any bear management tools at this point. I feel that we actually need more. The last time I heard, the Sportsman's Coalition and Howl With Wildlife, which is Mike Costello, were in opposition of this. I would ask that we extend this out so that I can get confirmation that our sportsman's group and stuff are behind this before we decide to move forward with it.
I don't have any problem with pushing it off to the next meeting. You should have time to research it by then. I know that Harold Dukey has been one that's worked on this behind the scenes with those folks in Sacramento, and basically fine-tuned to at least get this into a place to where it could have some effect. Yes, it doesn't have private. Yes, it, you know, there's a you know, things that it didn't have, but there was opposition to that in Sacramento, and so Harold was trying to thread the needle. I'll just leave it that way as a first step into getting something at least on the radar screen. So if we want to push it off till the 7th, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Supervisor Kobsev. Harold Dukey, his intent was to at least get it on the table in Sacramento, and this was sounded like the best way to do it, at least get the conversation started in Sacramento. But if we want to push it off a little bit for more conversation, I'm okay with that.
So I have a question real quick. Would it mean actually dropping this letter if it's going to change versus bringing back the same letter, which a continue would be?
Angela Davis, County Administrator, yes.
That's what
we would just remove it and
thank you.
Replace.
Thank you. Just for the clarification.
Yeah, I think that's
fine.
I'm in agreement too. I think that's more appropriate. I've spoken to Harold multiple times about this. I understand the commission's discussion at the time, but I've also spoken to my commissioner, and he intends to bring it up for further discussion at the next meeting, so I think it's appropriate to postpone this.
So technically drop it from the agenda, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you need to vote on that or no?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Six A, first buy of children and families. Good morning.
Good morning, Chair and Supervisors. My name is Michelle Harris, and I'm with part of the first buy team. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Karen Fox, part of the first buy team. Thanks for having us here.
And I'm Mackenzie Bowles, also part of the first one.
It's a privilege to partner with you in supporting the children and families of our county. We're here today to respectfully ask you to proclaim April as Child Abuse Awareness Month and Sexual Assault Awareness Month in Siskiyou County. April isn't a time to just raise awareness. It's a time to highlight strength, resilience, and care that already exist in our communities. Across Siskiyou County, families, providers, educators, and community organizations are working every day to create safe and supportive environments where children can grow and thrive. As First Five Siskiyou, we're part to be part of this collective effort. And there's actually a lot of partners already here today, and partners, whether they're county partners to family members or friends that I can call to help take care of children. We are here to support investing in early childhood, strengthening families, and building communities that create safe places. I am part of this work. I just want to share, I was privileged enough to raise three children in Siskiyou County and blessed to have grandparents within 10 miles. And I would love to help create a community that has neighbors and grandparents and coaches and educators to that help support this.
Yes, well, Mackenzie, want to share a little bit about some of our activities?
Yeah, so we help provide activities in Siskiyou County that build resilience for the families and children. So that means help build community, help build supports. We're doing family game nights, parent education groups, as well as our literacy program. All these things, everything you guys work on, all helps build resiliency for our families. So thank you all, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
You always hear us hear from us about the importance of collective efforts. We can't leave here without sharing our deepest appreciation to all of the county agencies, specifically Health and Human Services, Sarah Calord, and everyone involved with child welfare, Cindy, Susan, and Corey, and others. As well as Siskiyou Behavioral Health, Public Health. We have been able to be incredibly successful over the years in expanding services and supports and programs thanks to the leveraged resources with the county. We also want to give a big shout out to Siskiyou County Office of Education and all the schools with their community school dollars. We've been able to leverage resources and expand services. And some of you have seen the annual report for First Five that demonstrates the increased number of families we've been able to who've been able to benefit from parenting programs and other services thanks to our new partnership with community schools. We just want to thank each one of you for your contributions, your support, your championship, and your grace in being a phenomenal partner with First Five Siskiyou. Supervisor Kopsev, thank you, thank you, thank you for the years of service to First Five. We'd love to invite all of you to our community partner celebration on April 2nd, and everyone in the audience. April 2nd from 10:30 to 12, the invitation should be or will be in your emails. If you could join us, we'd love to have you. And we want to also acknowledge Supervisor Harris for joining the First Five Commission. And in my 21 years as a commissioner, Supervisor Harris is the first commissioner that actually has children that are 0 to 5 while he's serving on the First Five Commission. And we've already had some great ideas from him around ways that we can expand our efforts. So thank you all, and thank you Supervisor Kopsev and Supervisor Harris. We appreciate your commitment to the commission. Thanks.
Thank you. Comments from the board? No.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
You I'll make the motion second. I'll second.
Okay. Go ahead and second.
Okay. Alrighty. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Oh, sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Hill?
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Yes.
Move on to departmental requests. Sarah?
This one.
And 7A.
I have one.
Good morning.
Good morning. Courtney Greenlee, Administrative Services Manager for the Siskiyou County Sheriff's Office. Our agency is excited to enter a multi-year agreement with Flexible as opposed to an annual renewal. The agency would like the minutes to reflect a correction to page one to the documented initial term end date to reflect February 28th of 2031. In alignment with the payment schedule on page two, as well as the language in the agenda. We would also like to move forward with the motion of approval of such contract, knowing that any extension of this contract would be effective March 1st of 2031.
Questions from the board?
You're looking at me.
I went this direction. No.
You need a motion to approve?
Yes.
Is that what we're waiting for?
Yes.
That's what we're waiting for.
I'm motioning to approve.
I'll second.
Move it on.
Thank you. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe.
Aye.
Thank you.
Item B, Health and Human Services, Social Services Division. Claiming the month of March 26th as National Social Work Month.
Yes, we are so excited to be here today. Trish Barbieri, Director of Social Services Division with the Health and Human Services Agency. Good morning, Mr. Chair and honorable members of the board. Today we gather to honor a group of people whose work often happens quietly. It's behind the scenes, yet whose impact echoes loudly in the lives they touch. And that would be our social workers. Social work is not just a profession, it is a calling. It demands empathy when the world feels cold, courage when situations seem impossible, and persistence when the path forward is unclear. Social workers step into moments of crisis, not for recognition, but because they believe in the dignity, the worth, and potential of every human being. They are the bridge between despair and hope, the voice for those who feel unheard. I apologize, I have a scratchy throat. And the steady hand guiding individuals and families towards stability and healing. They navigate complex systems, they advocate for justice, and offer compassion without judgment, often at their own personal sacrifice. Today, we say thank you to our social workers. Thank you for the long hours, thank you for the emotional resilience, and the unwavering belief that change is always possible. We thank them for showing up, even when the work is hard and the victories are small. May this recognition remind them that their efforts matter deeply, not just to the people they serve, but to the heart of the entire community. They are the quiet heroes who make the world a kinder, fairer place. On behalf of everyone here, we honor our social workers, we appreciate them, and we stand with them in their mission to create a better tomorrow. I'm going to turn this over to Susan Cervelli and two of our managers who have some additional presentation for you.
Good morning, Chairman Kalp and honorable members of the board. My name is Susan Cervelli, and I'm the Deputy Director for Social Services within the Health and Human Services Agency. I've had the honor of working daily alongside the social workers and staff at Adult and Children's Services and Housing Programs for nearly 24 years. Today, I, along with Adult Services Program Manager Emily Tucholsky and Children's Services Program Manager Cindy Brooks, are here to respectfully request that the board, in accordance with the National Association of Social Workers, consider the adoption of the proclamation declaring March as Social Worker Month and recognize the social workers and staff contributions to Siskiyou County. To give you a little perspective into the vast amount of work accomplished by this small staff, I'll give the floor over to Emily and Cindy to highlight the work of their staff.
Good morning. My name is Emily Tucholsky. I am the program manager for adult services, and I've also been overseeing the social services housing programs for the last 4 years. And I thank you for allowing us to present this morning. In Siskiyou County, we have two adult protective services social workers who provide assistance to elders and dependent adults who are unable to meet their own needs or who are victims of abuse, neglect, or exploitation. The passing of Assembly Bill 135 in 2021 brought about significant changes to APS, namely expanding the definition of elder to include individuals age 60 and older instead of age 65 and older. This has allowed us to serve a greater portion of our community and address the complex issues that have arisen in relation to the state's growing aging population, but it also means that our workload has tremendously increased in volume and intensity. In 2025, 774 total reports were received and screened by staff, with 634 of those being assigned for in-person response and investigation assessment. At many times, this has meant 50 to 60 referrals per social worker per month. The volume of referrals has increased by more than 175% since 2020, with financial abuse and self-neglect cases being the most common type of report. Staff not only investigate allegations of abuse, they also provide connection to vital community services and supports provide essential goods and temporary shelter when funding is available, and educate clients in the community on how to avoid and or mitigate the effects of abuse or neglect. The In-Home Supportive Services Program provides assistance to eligible aged, blind, and or disabled individuals as an alternative to out-of-home care and enables recipients to remain safely in their own homes. In Siskiyou County, the IHSS unit is comprised of 3 social workers, a supervisor, an eligibility social services assistant who handles provider payroll and support needs for the social workers, and a staff services analyst who assists with our required IHSS quality assurance and program integrity activities. In 2025, IHSS staff managed an overall average monthly caseload of 537 recipient cases, performing assessment in client homes in every corner of Siskiyou County. Assessments have been managed as a group effort by the social worker, supervisor, and analyst due to our staffing needs. Due to a budgetary change at the state level, as of July 1st, 2025, there was a shift in responsibility to the counties for the penalties associated with any overdue assessments for our highest need cases, which are our CIFCO cases. While other counties have paid hefty penalties, Siskiyou County has paid zero, due to the teamwork of our staff and their diligence in performing their work in a timely manner. And as a matter of fact, the Siskiyou County IHSS team has achieved upwards of 99% for both their annual reassessment compliance rate as well as their annual compliance rate for applications processed timely every year for the last 5 years. Over the last 5 years, social services housing programs were greatly expanded in order to assist our community during times of unprecedented housing crisis. A small team consisting of 1 to 2 social workers, a support staff person, and the supervisor provides services utilizing a dozen different funding streams to help our homeless or at-risk community members. In the last 2 years, the housing unit has assisted more than 100 individuals and families in our community to obtain or preserve permanent housing. These staff have assisted almost double that amount of individuals and families with temporary housing, advocacy and assistance through the long process of applying for Social Security and other disability benefits, identification and removal of barriers to housing, connection to services and supports, education regarding tenancy rights, and housing navigation on the way to permanent housing and independence. I personally would like to commend all of our social worker staff in each area for the amazing work that they do each and every day in support of our community, and I feel we're very lucky to have them. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Cindy Brooks. I am the program manager for Children's Services, and I'm also grateful for the opportunity to be able to present this morning to you. Children's Services consists of the Emergency Response Unit, which investigates allegations of abuse and neglect, the Court Unit, which oversees children and families who have come under the supervision of the court, and the Resource Family Approval Unit that approves resource homes or foster homes that provide temporary and sometimes permanent homes for children and youth who cannot remain safely in their home. The Emergency Response Unit has been working over the years to change the face of child welfare investigations so that families understand our goal is to keep families together and provide referrals and resources, not remove their children. Through the dedication of our social workers and child welfare staff, we have been able to reduce the amount of children that are detained through a variety of means, such as safety plans, use of family and supports, resources, education, and voluntary cases where children remain in the home with the parents while receiving additional support from the agency. In the emergency response units in 2024, we received 667 referrals, 388 referrals were investigated. In 2025, 671 referrals were received, and 366 referrals were investigated. In 2024, 25 minors were removed by the court, and in 2025, 31 minors were removed by the court. To date, through 2026 through February, we've received 125 referrals, and 5 children have been removed from the court. The court unit in Children's Services provides a daily long-term case management to all children and families under court supervision. They provide more than 60 hours a week of court-ordered visitation, conduct monthly placement visits all over California, and operate an independent living skills program for our youth as some of their duties. We have seen a decline in the number of children in foster care over the last 2 years, which follow the state trends and is fueled by prevention and early intervention efforts. In 2024, we averaged 100 children per month with open cases and saw that number drop to about 80 monthly in 2025. In 2024, 45 children were returned home and reunified, 10 children were adopted, 4 children went to legal guardianship. In 2025, 28 children were returned home or reunified, 5 children adopted, and 6 children went to legal guardianship. Our Resource Family Approval Unit. In January 2017, the state had mandated as part of congregate care reform that all counties develop a resource family approval program to approve and maintain foster homes. Our county did not previously license foster homes, and this was a huge undertaking. We assumed initially that we'd bring on a few resource homes and the rest would continue to fall under local foster care agencies, but we have far exceeded that assumption with more children placed locally in RFA homes than in homes certified by foster family agencies. Since 2017, the county has approved more than 170 resource family homes. Currently, we have 48 approved homes, 30 active homes taking placement with 5 homes in the application process, and we currently have 26 minors placed in resource family homes, and 10 of those are actually relative placements. By operating our own RFA homes, it helps to keep children placed within the county, it reduces our out-of-county travel, and increases reunification success rates. Perhaps one of the most significant positive impacts is the fiscal savings. An average foster family agency placement cost is approximately $2,600 a month, and the RFA, or resource family home placement cost, is about $1,300 per month per child. And the county currently has seen an average cost savings of over $32,000 monthly through our RFA work. I would also like to join, as Emily mentioned, in recognizing all of our social worker staff do an absolutely amazing job providing support and assistance to the community, as well as a support to each other. Thank you.
I do have several of our staff here today. I would ask them all to stand. America. And remain This is just a small percentage of the staff we have, and unfortunately, part of our small staff, we're currently running about 40% short of staffing, so I appreciate them taking the time today. Social Worker Month is the time to recognize the commitment social workers have made to serve others while respecting the dignity and worth of a person. This social work team I'm truly proud of and is one of the greatest. Each and every day, this team amazes me with their compassion, ingenuity, creativity, and empathy for those they serve. The employees serve the communities, your constituents, in every stage of life, from in utero and birth to death and sometimes beyond. Each day they strive to help others less fortunate or down on their luck to see their own self-worth rise from addiction, homelessness, trauma, and self-defeat to become functioning children, teens, parents, and adults in our community. Our social worker staff enter homes that no one would ever set foot in, see trauma that no human wants to have to document, and hear firsthand disclosures of abuse and neglect that most only grimace at when they see it on the news. This staff has held the hands of families who've lost children and of elders who have come to realize that they can no longer care for themselves and must be moved to care facilities or hospice. This is not an easy job. Often thankless, and the burnout and turnover rate in our profession is extraordinary. The incredible volume of work and high compliance rates have been maintained despite crucial staff shortages over the last few years. I am thankful for the coordination and development of tremendous partnerships with other county agencies such as law enforcement, sheriff's department, probation, behavioral health, public health, community partners such as the FRCs, First 5, PSA 2 Area on Aging, and others that allow us to accomplish this vast array of services and work on a daily basis. Our social workers should receive appreciation for the crucial roles in society, and today we ask that you recognize them with the adoption of the proclamation for Social Work Month that has been provided. Thank you.
Comments?
I will comment. I know how hard you all work. I've been involved in a few phone calls that I've had to forward on to you, ask about. I've worked with Susan at length with housing issues, warming shelters, cooling shelters, all kinds of a plethora of different issues, especially within the city limits. You all have stepped up over and over again to do things after hours, on your own time, on overtime, and you are all angels. You go over and above to make sure that our community members are taken care of. And I really, really appreciate you from the bottom of my heart, too. You all care. And you give up your own time, time with your own families, over and over again. So thank you very, very much.
I'd like to say thank you, too. I think I know how hard your job is because of the remoteness of places in this county. We're not like a lot of urban places where things are easy to get to. There's a lot of hidey holes in this county. Just the distance and the remoteness makes your work really difficult. And I really appreciate what you do. And both in protecting the future of this county, because our kids are our only resource that we truly have. And with that, I'd like to make a recommendation.
I'll second that for just a quick comment. You know, I do truly appreciate all that goes on behind the scenes that we don't see on a day-to-day. Mm-hmm. You talk about far-flung spots that you have to go to. You know, my personal goal is for this county to move the needle from the high 50s to the low 50s at this point. Forget the 40s, but so all the work that you're doing, and then being understaffed, I can only imagine the pressure. So thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right, Wendy.
All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yeah.
Supervisor Ogren.
Yes.
Supervisor Cobsev.
With great appreciation for the work you do. Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for all of your comments and your support.
Moving right along. Item C, Health and Human Services. Again. Good morning.
Good morning. Do you have the PowerPoint? I am Sarah Evans. I'm the MHSA coordinator for behavioral health.
My name is Josh Santraw. I'm the admin services manager for behavioral health.
And we are here to give an overview of Mental Health Services Act as it transitions to Behavioral Health Services Act. Per DHCS, Behavioral Health Services Act is very prescriptive. We did upload the 3-year integrated draft plan into Questies for your viewing pleasure. We will be back in a few months for your approval of our final plan before we submit it to the state. So, Mental Health Services Act is transitioning to Behavioral Health Services Act. MHSA was Proposition 63 that passed in 2004. It was funded by the 1%, funded by 1% on income over $1 million. It expanded and improved mental health services and supports, and it's been controlled locally through a 3-year plan with state oversight. Next slide. Behavioral Health Services Act, BHSA, was Proposition 1 that passed in March 2024. It amended MHSA, and it also established the Behavioral Health Infrastructure Bond, which is the grant application we submitted back in October. The changes to MHSA is the name, and it expands the scope to encompass treatment for substance use disorders. It requires reporting on all mental health funding, and it increased reporting through the Behavioral Health Outcomes Accountability and Transparency Report, also known as the BOTR. MHSA was mainly focusing on severe mental illnesses with components of community services and supports, prevention and early intervention, innovation and workforce education and training, with the housing component being limited. The prevention and early intervention was has been controlled by the county, and we would submit our MHSA plan along with an annual update.
With BHSA, it switches a little bit from, you can go back to the next one. It switches from not just focusing on mental health, but also including the substance use disorder, expanding the eligible population. The components change a little bit with the focuses being on behavioral health services and support, full service partnership, and housing intervention. The housing piece with BHSA is dedicated to support ongoing housing interventions. The prevention role with BHSA switches from the county level to the state level. And with the BHSA, changes of oversight is with an integrated plan, annual updates, the voter I talked about earlier, and with an enhanced accountability and focus. Purposes of BHSA. The state goals are to improve access, increase transparency and accountability, and expand facility and housing capacity as part of behavioral health transformation. BHSA prioritizes high-need populations such as individuals and families who are homeless or at risk of homelessness, justice involved or re-entering from jail, prison, or youth facilities, and those at risk of institutionalization and conservatorship. It reforms, modernizes, and expands the MHSA to address homelessness, substance use disorder, and systemic gaps. It improves access to integrated behavioral health care, it expands housing interventions for vulnerable populations, and it enhances transparency and outcomes. Some of the goals with this transition are to improve care experience, access to care, prevention and treatment of co-occurring physical health conditions, quality of life, social connection, engagement in school, engagement in work, and some of the reduction goals are including reduction in suicide, overdoses, untreated behavioral health conditions, institutionalization, removal of children from the home, justice involvement, and homelessness. With BHSA, there are certain allocations that the state is looking for. The standard allocation is for 35% for full service partnership, 35% for behavioral health services and supports, and 30% for housing. Those are what they are asking. We have shifted those allocations to move 20% to full service partnerships, 49% to behavioral health services and support, and 23% for housing. With BHSA, there's different funding buckets, and that is the full service partnership funding bucket, the behavioral health services and support, and housing intervention. Full services partnership is the high needs population services. Behavioral health services and support is direct services and early intervention. And the housing intervention is prioritizing on existing housing projects. What BHSA expects of counties? They expect one integrated plan, a single public facing plan covering all county behavioral funding and services. And the community planning process, which is the process of robust stakeholders and community engagement, public comment, and use of local data to set priorities and evaluate funding utilization. The stakeholder group we're talking about, next slide, is this long list. I believe Supervisor Valenzuela asked about who we reached out to the last time we were here. This is the list of who we reached out to. At the bottom, the disability insurers are the only ones that we contacted that did not give us any response. So you can see at each of these groups, there was, we had a meeting and we got their input and we gave them surveys to give us their feedback. So that was part of that engagement process. Next slide. Evidence-based practices is a very big change with BHSA that the state is requiring. BHSA requires counties to implement specified evidence-based practices. These are the ACT and FACT program, also known as Assertive Community Treatment, and the Forensic Act. Coordinated Specialty Care is CSC, and High Fidelity RAP is in the FSP programs. The goal is to standardize high-quality care for individuals with complex behavioral health needs and improve measurable outcomes. Some of the funding and fiscal rules under BHSA is allocation methodology, prudent reserve, and component allowances are defined in BHSA fiscal policies. BHSA revenue replaces MHSA revenues going forward. Counties must maximize Medi-Cal and other payer reimbursement first, using BHSA as payer of last resort with specific rules for cost allocation and use of other non-BHSA funds. Reversion rules and transfer policies are updated. Unspent funds are more closely monitored, and state-directed funding and housing investments are carved out. And for all funding questions, Josh is going to be the expert, not me. Next slide. You'll see the BHSA timeline. In the large box is what we've already done. This is a very, very heavy lift with a lot of moving parts and pieces. We've done a lot of work, or actually the team's done a lot of work. I just got to jump in here in January. But we still have a lot to do. We have to submit the draft plan by March 31st, but we have set a goal of submitting it early tomorrow. This will also be posted for a 30-day public comment period, and there will be a public hearing at the Behavioral Health Board. We will be submitting it to DHCS and waiting for their revisions. Then we'll also be coming back to you guys to present this to you, asking for your approval before we submit it to DHCS. That is all I have. So if you guys have any questions, I'm sure we have the answers. If not, we can get them.
So who developed this new program?
DHCS, so Department of Health Care Services.
Yes. California, the state of California. So
yeah.
Is the legislature at all a part of how this rolls out, or is it strictly policy?
They developed the policy, so this is a result of proposition.
Who developed the policy?
State of California.
This DHCS and the legislature pushed out.
Right.
It was legislature developed kind of the rough framework, and then DHCS was interpreting the proposition one legislative.
Okay, thank you.
Wendy, I don't think you need a motion on this, do you?
What's that?
You don't need a motion on this.
I believe there is to authorize the county administrative officer to sign the plan for submission.
Yes.
And that's for the draft one, correct?
Correct. This is for the draft one.
Okay.
Yep.
It's going to come back to us for a final approval with all the information.
Yes. 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 We'll be back in May, if not early June.
Yeah.
Okay.
Move to approve.
I'll second with the comment of, I would encourage people to read this and make public comment, because that's the only way that we get to reply. We get any input at all is from public comment. So do that if possible. So I'll make the second.
Okay.
Okay, Wendy.
Alrighty. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobsev?
I appreciate the work that you've done on this, but for the legislative effort that comes out to counties from the state legislature, I can't support it, so I am a no.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Hill?
Aye. How are you doing, Wendy?
Yeah, maybe it'd be a good time for a break before we get to the white paper.
Okay. We'll pick 5, 10, whatever you
want. Oh, 5's fine. Just
5.